You are listening to an audio sermon from Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website at harvestgranger.org.
Just to let you know up front, 5G is about what's next, okay? Everybody take out your cell phone. Everybody do it. Everybody did. I'll never ask you to do this again, ever in church, but take it off, and you can go ahead and change the setting now that you've got it, and set it to stun or whatever that setting is. And just look at it there for a minute. In my phone, in the upper left-hand corner, I see something that says 3G. How many of you see 3G up in the corner there? Do you realize how last generation you are? Okay. Because things have advanced. There has been progress made in technology. How many of you see, how many of you have the next generation? It's a 4G. You don't see 4G. You probably see LTE because you're too cool to have 3G or 4G. Well, our theme is 5G. That's because we're all about what's next. We're going to make so much progress. We're going past 4G. We're going to 5G. Okay, so that's what our theme is, just to help you remember what these things are all about. You see the words that are the 5Gs behind me here. We'll unpack those here in a few minutes. And like we do every Sunday, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to open your Bible. But before we do that, I want us to take a glance in the rear view mirror. I had some friends in college that I went over to their house one day, and they were new friends, but they had a little orientation for anybody that came over to their home. You had to go to a wall, and they had to back you up against the wall and take a measuring rod and mark on the rod your height. I tried to tell them that I stopped growing when I was 14. At the time, I was like 21, but it's tradition. Everybody gets a mark. And I looked on the wall, and there's like marks of everybody that ever entered the home, and the whole wall was filled up. And each one of them that had grown up in the home, you could see when the first mark was there, and they were like 2 feet tall, and then there were three, and then four. And you could look on the wall and tell that there had been growth. There had been progress. 5G is a campaign for spiritual progress. That's what it is. 5G is what's next. And what we're going to do in the next 12 months is we're going to set some markers and say, here's where we're going. At the end of 12 months, I should see some spiritual progress in these five things. I'm a God-glorifying disciple. I'm a growing disciple. I'm a grateful disciple. I'm a gracious disciple. And I'm a generous disciple. I want to make some progress in those things, don't you? Now, that happens individually as you make the individual choice. But when we come together as a church, our leadership has come together and said, that's the kind of church we want to be. We want to be a 5G church. And together, we want to create a church that is glorifying and growing and grateful and gracious and generous. So at the end of 12 months, that's where we want to be. That's just looking down the road. Before we take a gaze into that, let's glance into the rearview mirror. Anybody remember ever looking at something that looked like that? How many of you at some point sat in the gymnasium of the North Point Elementary School in a very hard brown folding chair? Okay, or maybe you got the little quarter-inch padded blue one. You had to pay more for those. No, actually, they were just as uncomfortable. But there we were. That's where we started. That was our birthplace, and that's where we began. In 2009, we leased some offices on Sandy Drive, but then a miracle happened. There was a church in town called Cornerstone Community Church that used to meet at this location that reached out to us, and we reached into them, and we adopted them into the Harvest family, and they became Harvest Bible Chapel, and they met here at this property, and that whole thing was a miracle as it took place, just unheard of how churches can't even get along with themselves, and to get two churches to cooperate together, to put two churches into one, was an amazing thing. So we immediately relocated our offices here, and then we tried to have a Good Friday service in here, and we crammed 318 people in this room, which at the time was half of its size, and we said, that's not going to work. We're going to need to expand this facility, and so we knocked down the wall, and we expanded it this way, and the room you're now seated in is the result of the campaign we had at that point called the Forward in Faith campaign, and over $850,000 came in to expand the auditorium, renovate everything, create this platform and the renovations that are down the hallway and all those things. And those of you, by the way, how many of you were never part of a worship service at Harvest at North Point Elementary School? Raise your hand. You were never a part of that. Just keep your hand in the air. Okay? So the people that have their hand in the air, they were served by the people that had the vision to create the space for you to come. Are you grateful that they created that room for you to come? You should be. And what a God-glorifying thing it was to give generously so that you could be gracious for the people that are now grateful that we're a growing church. It's 5G. It's all about 5G. It's what's next. It's what's next, okay? So we're looking in the rearview mirror. So what's happened in that time? Well, we finally got in here on February the 12th of 2012, and at that time we were growing. We started out the first year, we had about 200 people showing up, and the next year was 264, and the next year was 359. Then we moved in, and look at what happened. Bam, it was 323. And do you know that our average attendance for the past month has been 770 people, and we've been over 800 a couple of times. And I'm thinking that we're not done. And so we've got some things to think about. It's like, do we need to create some more space? And do we even have the spiritual maturity to do that? That's what the 5G campaign is designed to do. So what's happened in the time, even since we've moved into here, we've been in here about 18 months, and when we moved in, we were averaging 534 people, and that gave everyone that came 30 square feet of space. Very generous. People kept coming. And they kept invading your space. And now they're seated in space that you used to occupy. And now we only have 20 square feet per person. And what if we keep growing at that rate? People are going to be sitting on top of each other. You say, oh, that would never happen. All you have to do is walk down the hallway into a children's ministry room. And you see, we already stacked them on top of one another. Okay? So space is becoming a bit of an issue. We're grateful for the space, but glance in the rearview mirror, gaze toward the future. We need to think about some space. So what's happened financially to our church in that time? Here's some great things to be grateful for. In the first year of our existence, $360,000 was given to fund the ministry here at Harvest. Next year, $512,000 was given to fund the ministry. Next year, $624,000. And in the last 12 months, our fiscal year runs September through August. In the last 12 months, people have given in the offering $865,000 to fund the work of ministry here. Now, when you add in, wait just a minute, you can do that in just a minute, but you're going to want to do it in just after this sentence, okay? If you add in what was given to Forward in Faith pledges, for the first time in our history, the people of Harvest Bible Chapel gave over $1 million in the last 12 months to fund the ministry of this church. Now listen, do you know what, it's a miracle anytime a human being would transfer out of his bank account a single dollar into someone else's bank account because of the vision and the purpose. They want that dollar to multiply and go further and do things that they can't do on their own. We're doing this together, okay? And again, this is the membership of Harvest Bible Chapel. If you're not a member, then we're serving you by those dollars, okay? And we invite you to come be a part of the family so that you can help us serve others that will come. So the elders got together. We spent a lot of time in meetings in the last month. Oh my goodness, we met with every ministry leader, and they've been working on their budgets. And like, what do you want to do next year? And what vision has God given you? And what are you praying about? And we've asked them this question. If money is no object and God cannot fail, what would you do? Take over the world. Well, they've given us their goals and their strategies, and we said, hey, put a dollar amount beside them. And so we put it all together, and we prayed, and the elders came together, and we said, we're going to believe in the next 12 months that $1.1 million will be given to fund the general ministry of this church. And so that's what we are going to have faith to do. And what God is going to enable us to do is we become a growing, grateful, glorifying, gracious, generous church. So let's pray that God would use what he's doing in each of our lives to get some stuff done together, stuff that we couldn't do on our own. So one of the things that you need to know is this, not all that money stays here. That money goes in a lot of places. As a matter of fact, 5% of everything that's given in the offering goes right back out of here to plant more churches. Through our fellowship, Harvest Bible Fellowship is the church planting arm of Harvest Bible Chapel. And so over 80 churches, I think now almost 90 churches have been planted all across the world. And beyond that, our elders got together, and we're taking a very huge faith step here. We want even more money, even more of our money to get out of here. And we're going to add an additional 7% to do things in related to missions globally, locally, and it's all designed to plant more churches. So we don't exactly know how that's going to work it out. We're going to need a lot of leadership and a lot of strategy and a lot of vision, a lot of smart people to get on board with that, and a lot of people to pray to know what God wants us to do with all that. But I want to let you know that that is having an effect today. Do you know that because you've given today in Vincennes, Indiana, there is a Harvest Bible Chapel opening in that city because of the dollars that you have given and the vision that we have to plant more God-centered, gospel-preaching, Christ-glorifying churches? That's what's happening this morning while we're meeting here. The first service is happening there under the direction of Ryan Lowry as the senior pastor. That's right. Give God glory. And if you've been around Harvest for a while, you know that we sent out from our body a young man named Jeremiah Canfield, and we sent him, we said, get out of here, go, you're gifted, get out of here, go plant a church. So we sent him to the training center, the Harvest Bible Fellowship Training Center. He was there for 4 months. They sent him to Pittsburgh. He's on the east side of Pittsburgh this morning, and in 2 weeks, in 14 days, Harvest Pittsburgh East will open up because of the vision and the outreach of Harvest Bible Fellowship. I talked to Jeremiah this morning, and he's got exciting things happening, and I want you to hear what's happening right now while we're meeting what Jeremiah's up to in Pittsburgh this very moment.
Good morning, Harvest Granger. It is an honor to take a second and share with you an update from Pittsburgh. We are now 14 days away from our launch, and we are excited and nervous and scared, and any other words you can think of, but trusting and believing God to do what only God can do. It has been exciting to watch God firsthand build His church. We have now 80 people that have committed to Harvest, and about another 10 that are praying and asking God if this should be their home church. As you sit there this morning, we right now, for the first time as a core group, are walking through the school and setting up our equipment and figuring out how the children's room should look and where the signs should go. So please pray for us, for we need much wisdom this morning. It has been an honor to partner with you in planting this church, and we so appreciate your prayers, for the wisdom that Pastor Trent has given, and we look forward to seeing God work and move, and look forward to sharing with you the great stories that God is doing here in Pittsburgh. Hope you have a great morning, and God bless.
And I went out and visited Jeremiah about a month ago. Their school that they're meeting in, remember that it was no school in that area had ever let a church use their building. Remember that? But Jeremiah prayed, and now he's drinking a lot of sweet tea. So anyway, God answered his prayer because and I went there, and they've got a great location. The middle school where they are going to meet is at the second busiest intersection in the state of Pennsylvania. Okay, and they're meeting in a middle school auditorium with theater seating, and so they got a stage, and they got a much better setup than we had, and it's just going to be great. And Jeremiah's just doing a great job, but all of that is something we do together as a family because we're committed to church planting. So great things happening there, and all of that missions focus is not just here. Sometimes it gets to the hardest places, and one of the hardest places on the planet has got to be Liberia. And in the midst of the hardness, God has done a great thing there in planting 7 Harvest Bible Chapels. And we've sent 3 teams of people over there to help train elders and train teachers. And what you need to know about Liberia is this. The Harvest Bible Fellowship has said, hey, we've had Liberia kind of as our responsibility for a while, and we need some help. And so guess what we have done? As Harvest Granger, we have stepped up and said, we'll take Liberia. Just give it to us. And so we are now the lead church for all of Liberia. So all the church planting that's going to happen is going to be nurtured and directed, and we're going to encourage the leaders over there as best we can. So grateful for Kevin Corhorn, who's given leadership to this and talks to Pastor Moses over there quite often, almost weekly, maybe daily. And if you would be interested in learning more about that, then I invite you to come here next Saturday morning at 8:30. There's going to be a meeting happen with Kirk Van Manen, who's the director of the International Church Planting of Harvest Bible Fellowship. He's going to be here to explain all the stuff that's happening in the history of Liberia and then train us as leaders in how to be the lead church in Liberia. So if you want to be a part of that, you're welcome to come to that. And also, help me out, please. Thank you. And last year we baptized 50 people in our church. And that is a miracle that God could turn a sinner's heart that is oriented away from God and toward sin and give it life and love God. And we've got to celebrate that a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to trust God for more of that as we raise up our fourth pillar, which is sharing the good news of Jesus with boldness. If we were to do that the way that we could do that, and we were just going to believe God would use that. And God chooses who, and He also chooses how. And if we get the message right and get the message out, then we believe God's going to increase that number. So we want to believe that, believe God for that. What's happening inside of our church? Let's talk about small groups. Small groups is so vital to everything we do. On Sunday morning, we meet and we set all the chairs in rows to look at one person. Scary, isn't it? And so that's a critical thing as we teach God's Word and preach God's Word. By the way, hang on, we're going to get to that too. I'm talking way too much without opening a Bible. I realize that. I'm kind of violating principle here. We'll get to that. But so grateful for Pastor Matt and the way that God's used him since he came on board in January and just strengthened and trained our leaders in small groups. 73% of our membership's plugged in to a small group. If you're part of the 26%, what are you doing? Get in a small group. And the leaders have been trained in biblical soul care, which is creating an uncommon community for us. Just so different than any other small group of any other church that I know. It's not a Bible study. It's not a prayer meeting. It's not an accountability group. And it's not coffee and donuts. It's all of that combined, okay? And nothing wrong with any of that, but we want to make sure it has all of those elements so that it becomes something that creates an uncommon community, and it is an incubator for little disciples of Christ. And it's where you as a Christian are loved and known and cared for. The way to keep a big church small is emphasizing small groups. So we invite you to plug into a small group. As part of that, our compassion ministry comes alongside of our small groups and creates opportunities out in the community to reach people that otherwise suburban white people would not meet. And so we want to be intentional about getting into the community and sharing our resources and offering hope and encouragement, and most importantly, the gospel. So our great partnership with Hope Ministries is so strong. Hope Ministries gave us an award because of our involvement down there. And I was asked by somebody this week, well, what do you do? Just serve a meal? No. We do serve a meal so that we can talk to the people, so we can create relationships, so that we can create disciples. That's what we're doing. And so family nights that you hear about periodically, and happy birthday Jesus parties for the children of the residents down there, and we've had ladies nights out down there, and Project Warm, where we would sponsor a bed for somebody to come in off the street on those cold nights in January and February. We'll hear more about that. But compassion is so strong under the ministry of Matt Ernsberger. Youth ministry, so grateful for the fact that we were able to bring in Pastor Mark in the last few months as our full-time youth pastor. And every Wednesday night, you should just show up sometime on a Wednesday night. It's if you have courage, because this whole place is run over with teenagers. They start out in a worship service in here. They break into small groups, and Mark's raised up a team of 25 mentors and small group leaders because they break into small groups even when they're here on Wednesday night. There's over 140 students now involved, and they did a winter retreat this last year, and looking in the rearview mirror, just the Camp Rayburn service project, great opportunity. But the most important thing is that young people are learning to be gospel-centered and have a Christian worldview. Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the colleges and universities are a little antagonistic toward those of us that believe in things we can't see. Have you noticed? Yeah. So what's going to happen to these kids when they get launched out of the home and maybe in another community? Are they going to have the faith to stand? Well, we want to have a kind of a youth ministry that creates a disciple that's able to stand strong and stand firm and stand out even in a hard place. That's just kind of a theory. I don't know that it's happening. We're just kind of hope it'll happen. Oh, I did hear a story. Check this out.
My name is Bethany Spear, and I would like to share with you my first college experience that was very unexpected. So I show up to class, my first time out of the home for school, and it was sociology, and there was only one available seat in the front middle, so I sat down, and the professor asked what I did outside of school, just as an icebreaker question. So I told him, I was like, I go to church. I love being involved in youth group and Sunday mornings and children's ministry. Then a lady in the back decided to stand up and challenge me, and she just told me, she was like, oh, so you think that we're all going to hell because we're not perfect like you. Immediately, I freaked out because I was not expecting that kind of atmosphere at all, and just wanted to crawl under the desk. And but instead, I just prayed and asked God to help me through it and give me the words to say.
As a youth group, we decided to go through a series entitled The Jesus You Can't Ignore. And I felt like that was such a critical series to talk about because all of our kids are struggling, specifically teenagers, with a lot of the same issues that even adults struggle with, which is, does it matter that I have lots of friends, and is popularity more important than my faith in Jesus, and how exactly do I take a stand for this man named Jesus?
After the first day of class, everyone was just picking on me, bullying, disrespecting, and it was all because I had the Christian worldview. I wrote a bunch of papers and turned in assignments, and all of them had a Christian worldview, and every single one came back with an F.
A student by the name of Bethany Spear approaches me right away after we start this series, and she says, hey, I really am faced against some serious opposition because I've been forced to answer the question in this college class that I'm taking of who Jesus is. So classes come and classes go, and week after week, we give Bethany the chance to speak to the entire youth group about how the Lord is working throughout this entire situation. And one specific week, she comes and says that I was late for class, and I'm running down the hall, and I'm out of breath, and I've got my backpack on, and I'm fearful that I'm not going to get credit for some homework that I have to turn in. And right away, I bust through the door. And
my professor says, sociological perspective. And I was just confused and stood there. And he told me, he was like, Spear, give us your sociological perspective. And I was like, what are you talking about? And he told me, he was like, you know what you were just doing in the hallway. Give us that perspective.
Little did she know, she was actually praying out loud. So right there in that classroom, all eyes on her, out of breath, backpack on, really just kind of stunned by what she was just asked to do. She prays in front of the whole class, prays for the class.
And I just prayed over the class that we would do well on our homework and just work hard and diligently. And then I just felt led to pray for a student specifically in the class. And I was just praying for her family and for her and her homework. And then I got to go sit down. And as I was sitting down, the student who confronted me the first day stood up again. And she was like, you're not praying to anyone. No one's listening. There's nobody there. Like, what are you doing? And the professor, he stepped in again and said points would be deducted for arguing. So I wasn't able to respond to her.
One of the things that really stuck out to me as I listened to her story and her tell her story throughout each week and each week is the level of obedience and faithfulness she showed to the Lord. To my pleasant surprise, again, was her faithfulness, her ability to, in the great face of opposition, remain faithful and remain obedient. And in the midst of which, I would ask her every week, how are you doing it? And she would say, it's not easy because I'm freaking out. I'm scared out of my mind. I'm nervous, but I'm willing to be faithful, because I want to honor the Lord in all of this.
The making fun of and mocking just continued over the next few weeks, and the professor actually came back and apologized for what he had said and done and how he had led the class, and just said it was wrong of him. And so then I invited him to church. I gave him our little Harvest Bible Chapel card, and he quickly just told me, he was like, no, I won't do that. And I was like, well, you're welcome to come anytime. So then it was time to begin studying for finals, and as I was studying, I was just thinking about how many grades I had, like how many papers I had failed, and trying to figure out how I could bring my grade up. And I figured out that if I at least got 50% on my final, I would end with a D. So I was just studying so hard and just working really, really long hours. And we had 3 class days left, and I came into class early, and the professor walks in and he's like, Spear, what are you doing here? And I was like, I'm coming to class. And he was like, you already have an A. Like, what better grade can you get? Get out of my class. And I was like, how do I have an A? And he's like, just get out of my class. What is your goal? And I was just like, okay. And I gathered my books and ran out of there. But it was just unbelievable.
What strikes me about this whole time that she was in this class is the fact that she was obedient through it all. What I'm most impressed with is how she allowed God to work through her obedience, and through her faithfulness. And I think the Lord honored that by giving her the A that she never thought she was going to get.
So what I realized is that no matter what your situation, no matter where you are, or who you're friends with, or how popular you are, that God wants to use you in every situation all the time for His glory.
Those are the kinds of disciples that we're making here at Harvest, and we're starting young. And I'm so excited about even our children's ministry. And did you know that 130 people from Harvest Bible Chapel, adults, serve in our children's ministry at some point during a given month? And they're serving about 175 children that show up on a Sunday that right now are not in this room, because there are 130 volunteers who are with them in another location, so that it's quiet in here. You get my point, okay? That we can focus on what God has for us as adults, so that when we get back with them, they get a better mom and dad, and hopefully we get a better son or daughter. So that's what's happening under the direction of Michelle Helmkamp, our new children's ministry director. So excited to have her on staff, and really, really excited about the Gospel Project, which is our new curriculum we're using in the children's ministry. And Pastor Mark's telling me we're using this now in our youth ministry as well for the coming months, and what's ahead for all of that. And what the Gospel Project is a curriculum that is based on a supremacy of God, a centrality of Christ, a missional church that sees Jesus in every story. Do you understand that most children's ministry curriculum, even though it may be biblical, the goal of it is just to kind of give you a good moral lesson, dare to be like Daniel? And what the Gospel Project says is, I'm not like Daniel. I'm a coward, and I need Jesus to come and meet me in the lion's den, and He needs to shut the mouth of the lion, and because He shut the mouth of the lion, I'm following Him. Okay, so that is a biblical theology that comes down into the root of our church that's going to raise up God glorifying disciples, and it goes something like this. I want you to see this. Check this out.
Good morning, Harvest Granger.
We've already seen you, Jeremiah. Go away.
Share with you an update.
come to the church and we open our Bibles, you realize that the messages that come out of this pulpit bring us to Christ, right? No matter what text we're in, it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the hero of the Bible, not anybody else, certainly not me. So that's what is now going to be taught to our children and our youth. And I'm so excited about that. So many things happening with our men's ministry and our women's ministry. Glance in the rearview mirror. Stepping up. Huge home run. Men went through that. We're equipped. Men working at discipleship. Memorizing scripture. Life on life. Reproducing one another. Raising a modern day knight where dads are teaching sons how to live courageously. God honoring men. And then you've heard something about act like men, right? The conference coming up. This November, the 8th and the 9th, on a Friday and a Saturday. And what is significant about Act Like Men? Here's what's significant. Every man in this church is coming. That was really lame. Okay? So, listen, you're like, I am? I didn't have that on my schedule. And this, again, I give you permission. Take out your smartphone, November the 8th and the 9th. Put your name in those dates in Indianapolis with me on a bus in a hotel room on Friday night, and we're going to the conference together. Now, I know that some of you have gone and checked that out. The cost for the church for that event is $190, okay, for each man to go. So what we've done is we've discounted it already and dropped it down to $169, okay, for every man to go. I know that because I registered my son this past week to come with me, and $169 came out of his college fund into the Act Like Men fund. And why would I do that? Because I want him to stand strong in college, and this is a part of the curriculum, okay? I don't care what he learns in college if he's a failure. Sorry. I've got great hopes for my son. And this is he's going to act like a man. We're going to learn to act like a man together with his dad. And his dad's going to learn to act like a man. And so we're going together. We've got buses lined up, hotel blocks, and we're taking 250 men. And I know that some of you are saying, $169 is going to prevent me from being there. No, it's not. All you have to do is go to our website. HarvestGranger.org, and Act Like Men banner will pop up. Click on that banner. There is a registration. Fill out the registration. You will see at the bottom it asks you this question. Do you need a scholarship? If $169 would prevent you from going to this conference, click yes, I need a scholarship. And the price for you will be $75. If $75 would prevent you from coming to this conference, then we will talk to you about what you can pay. Everybody needs to pay something. Give us a dollar. You can get on the bus, okay? But every man in this church is going. We're taking 250 men to this conference. Cost is not going to prevent anyone from going. Does everybody understand that? We've got Mitchell Helmkamp, who's one of our students that just graduated from our youth ministry. He's now at Taylor University. He's bringing the entire campus of Taylor University to this thing. Okay? They can't pay $169. And so we're going to have to figure out a way to get that done. So here's the next question. Can you provide a scholarship? Some of you, $169, that's nothing to you. You let 10 men go. I'm going to provide 10. We're going to trust that God's going to work this out. But there's not going to be a man not go to this conference because of money. Is that clear? Okay? We're going to figure it out. So go today and register. I need to know now that you are coming. And you can go out the door, turn right at the table. There is a laptop computer open to the Act Like Men website, and you can register before you leave church today. But we're taking 250 men to this conference, okay? And if we need to order more buses, we'll order more buses. We'll work with you. But we're all going. Can women go? No! It's a man thing you wouldn't understand, okay? But we do have women's ministry. It's a good thing. Glance in the rearview mirror, True Woman 12, which was a great event. I actually was a man. I was the one of 12 that went to 8,000 women in this place. And interestingly, the same location that the women were in the Indianapolis Convention Center, in that room last year for True Woman 12, is where the men will be meeting for Act Like Men this year. So God is taking over Indianapolis down there. We want to be a part of it. So much coming with our women's Bible studies. You can register for those events today. And I just love for the older women to be a part of that so that they can learn. They can teach the younger women. And the younger women need the influence of older women. And so be a part of all that God is doing. So things are happening with Generations of Faith. Things are happening with our college ministry. It's too much to talk about now. We need to open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Why the big deal about 5G? What is it about these five things that are so important? Well, let's try to answer that question here. As you're turning in your Bibles, you need to understand this book was written by a man named Paul. Paul wanted to invest in the next thing, the next generation. God had used Paul in incredible ways to plant churches, to write half of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he was coming to the finish line of his life. And he wanted to make sure that the baton didn't get dropped. And so he was investing in the next generation in a young man named Timothy. Timothy was about 30 years old. And Paul had become a spiritual father to him. He called him his spiritual son. And he understood that if this church thing, this Jesus thing, this salvation history thing was going to continue, it was going to need some next generation leaders. And so Paul was a 5G disciple, and he wanted to pass the baton to Timothy. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he said this, command and teach these things. So what are these things? What things, Paul? What things are you wanting to teach? I think there were specific things. He lists five specific things here in just a minute. But I think not just specific things, but it was all of what Paul had been writing to the churches. And God has preserved the things that Paul wrote to the churches under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we have it in a book called the Bible. It's what you hold in your hand. And it's why we have a pillar in our church. It's the first one. And it says, proclaiming the authority of God's word without apology. Notice what the command is. The command is to command and teach. Notice it doesn't say suggest and give advice. Become a spiritual coach. No, these things are to be commanded. You know what Paul wanted Timothy to do? Paul wanted Timothy to stand in front of the people of God and command them to obey the word of God. That's what he told them to do. So we carry on the tradition 2,000 years later, and we put a Bible in a man's hand, we stand him in front of the people of God, and we charge him to call us to the commands of God. That's what we do here every Sunday when we say, open the Bible, and it's not a suggestion. Now, the man holding the Bible doesn't have the authority. He has only the authority as he is speaking from the word of God. It's the word of God that has the authority. Now, Jesus said that he had all authority and he is with us. And so we stand in his place and as leaders of the church operate according to his word, then obviously God gives them that position of authority. It's not ultimate authority. But a man that stands and commands and teaches is critical to a healthy next generation church who commands. You obey these things. And then to teach. Teach is different. Teach says, there's some stuff I need to know. There's some stuff I need to know about God. There's some stuff I didn't come into this world knowing about God. It needs to be taught to me. There's some stuff I need to know about myself. Why am I so hung up? Why can't I get victory over it? Why do I have these? I need to know those things. There's some things that need to be unraveled in my life. And that's what it means to teach. There's some things that we need to teach about marriage. There's some things that we need to teach about courage. There's some things that we need to teach about finances. There's some things that we need to teach about parenting. All of these things is part of a teaching ministry. See, I didn't get a slide up there for the preaching ministry of the church. But that's what this is. Here's the preaching ministry. What's that? Command and teach. Command and teach. And that's what we're going to do. Faithful to the word of God. So that's verse 11. Verse 12. Let no one despise you for your youth. Now, how many of you read that verse and say, that verse doesn't apply to me? Because it talks about young people, and I'm not one of those anymore. Well, everybody in here except one person is younger than everybody else. I won't ask who's the oldest person, but we're all younger than somebody. And it says there is something that a young person can do to demand the respect of an older generation or even those around them in their peer group. He says, don't let anyone despise your youth. As I was a teenager, I read this verse. I'm like, well, what does that mean? If somebody starts disrespecting me, and like that professor that was disrespecting Bethany in that class, this verse says I shouldn't let them do that. So what should I do? Should I like blow up their car or, you know, punch them in the nose? You know, what should I do? Because they're not supposed to do that. No, what Paul is saying here is you should never give anyone the ammunition to shoot you with. What is it that Paul is saying? Verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in five things. Paul was a 5G Christian. He had five things. Here they are: in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You're a young person. You want the respect of those around you? Have a mature speech, mature conduct, mature love, mature faith, and mature purity, and you will give no one an occasion to despise you. You will demand their respect. So what does it mean to have a mature speech? Well, it means that you're truthful in everything that you say. It means that you are a person of your word. You keep your promises. It means that what comes out of your mouth is kind and it builds up rather than destructive and tears down. Are you a person who has a mature speech? If you're not, people are going to despise your youth. A mature conduct. What does that mean? That I'm disciplined. I have control over my appetites. It means I'm not controlled by my emotions. I don't need somebody to get me out of bed in the morning and put me to bed at night. I got that under control. And so I'm mature in my conduct. My behavior is not like another person. It's like Christ. A mature love is the third thing here. To be an example in love, what does that mean? It means that I'm focused on other people and not loving myself. The number one obstacle to me loving others is that I love myself. And if I would stop loving myself so much, I would be able to love others. The fourth thing is a mature faith. Taking God at His word, no matter how I feel, no matter what I see going on around me, because I know that God promises a good result. Number five, mature purity. What does that mean? That means that I understand why God made me male or female. That means I understand that I am to be a one-woman man or a one-woman girl, depending on your gender. It means that, I said that wrong, one-woman man. I preached a whole message on this a few months ago, if you want to go back and get the series. But a mature purity is what we're talking about here. That I understand that God created one man for one woman for one lifetime within the context of marriage. That's what we're talking about, very mature. Occupational hazards of preaching. Verse 13. Until I come. Love that. Where was Paul sitting when he wrote this? He was sitting in prison. Until I come. Notice he didn't say, if I come. Paul said, I'm coming. I'm believing God. Did Paul ever come? No, he did not. But he was a man of faith. He believed and left the rest to God. Until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture. Number one. Devote yourself to the exhortation, number two. Devote yourself to teaching or doctrine, number three. This is the way we handle God's word. We read it, we exhort you to obey it, and we help you understand its meaning. That's what we're doing at this church. Why are those so critical? Because we're trying to encourage you to be a next generation Christian, a disciple that goes further and grows higher than you've ever gone before. And so we don't just read it, we exhort. The exhortation is laying down over my life direct application to how I'm supposed to live this out. So we don't just read, be an example in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. We say, here's what that means for you on Tuesday at 3:30. You might want to look around and see how you can love other people. And you might want to find ways you can serve and make sure what's coming out of your mouth is not tearing other people down. Hopefully I demonstrated that for you as we went through that verse. Exhortation and then to teaching or doctrine. I'm excited about where we're going in our preaching in the next year. I know some of you are a little nervous because you opened your Bible this morning and it fell open to Matthew. And the reason it fell open to Matthew is because where we've been for about 2 years. And we started in verse 1 of Matthew, and we're going to end in chapter 28. And how are we going to get from there to here? How many chapters are there left to cover in Matthew? Anybody know? There's 5 chapters left. That's going to make 2 series. Chapter 24 and chapter 25 is going to be called It's About Time. And it's all about the end times, okay? And hopefully we will actually get through it before Jesus comes back. And if not, that's fine too, okay? And then chapter 26, chapter 27, and chapter 28 is all about the death, burial, and crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. And we're going to end right on Easter. So all of that is coming in March and April of next spring. So in the fall here, we're going to be preaching through the 5 G's. We're going to be talking about what it means to be generous. We're going to slow down when we get to generous and expand that out over a few weeks. And we're going to eventually close the year up in May, June, and July of 2014. And we're going to do a series on doctrine. What does it mean, these deep truths of God? Who is God? And what does the Bible say about God? And what does the Bible say about me? And how do we reconcile one? We're going to look at these deep truths of doctrine. So that's where we're going in the teaching series in the coming month as we gaze ahead. Verse 14 is a command to all of us. Do not neglect the gift you have. Who had the greater gift? Paul or Timothy? The answer is yes. We don't even really know what Timothy's gift was. Paul knew what it was because he said the gift. And I would say to you, I don't know what your gift is. But don't neglect it, whatever it is. Who's more gifted, me or you? The answer is yes. I'm trying to be faithful not to neglect my gift right now. This is about what I do. This is it. It just kind of happens here. You're seeing the best use of me. And I don't know what the best use of you is, but don't neglect it. Do it. To the degree that you neglect the gift that God has given you is the degree to which this church will fail to fulfill God's mission. Do you understand that? So every person that's seated on the sideline, every person that got hurt 10 years ago in some church and you're sucking your thumb, every person that is saying, well, it's just a busy season of life, or every person that says, it's just, I've done it for 50 years and I'm too old now, let those young people do it, that is the degree to which you are slowing the progress that we're trying to make as disciples of Christ together. Don't neglect the gift. What is your gift? I don't know what it is. Notice what he says in verse 14. Don't neglect the gift which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. I'm so grateful for the elders of our church. Elders Kevin Corhorn, Doug Niemeyer, Matt Helmkamp, and Alan Maslin and I serve as the elders of our church. And you may think, yeah, you guys sit around in a smoky room with a light bulb and try to make our lives miserable. That's what you guys are for. No, it's hard work. And it requires time and energy and financial investment to take off work and to deal with the things that care for the oversight of this flock. And our elders invite you to pray with us on Sunday mornings at 7:45. You just come and be a part of that. And we want to emphasize our pillar of prayer as well. But don't neglect the gift. How many of you received a card when you walked in the room? Did you get one of those? You got a bulletin and you got a card. Everybody got a card? Nina, did you get a card? Nina, you need a card. I need your card, actually. That's why I'm asking. Okay, thank you. Everybody look at this card. Everybody take that out. This is get involved. Oh, unashamedly, one of the purposes of this service is a little different service than we normally do. It's kind of like an infomercial, right? It's like, whoa, I'm hoping that you will see the good things that God is doing at this church. Harvest is not a perfect church, but it's a good church. And if you stick around here long enough, I will disappoint you, the elders will disappoint you, the person sitting next to you will disappoint you, and you will disappoint us, okay? It's a church. It's made of people. And when people get close enough, they hurt each other. And I have found that wherever you have a population of more than one, you face the potential of being hurt. So you're going to get hurt. All right? But get in the game and get involved. God is doing incredible things. Hopefully you saw all those things. So what's next? What's next for you? Look at this card. I would like to join a small group. Maybe you're part of that 26% that didn't get into a small group. And we want you in a small group. And maybe you're not even a member of the church. You need to come to Making Harvest My Home, which is in a couple of weeks, and find out what the next step is for you to get plugged into a good church. I met somebody that was here for the first time this morning. They came here, and they're that's all I needed to hear. I don't need to visit any other churches. That just like you came on the right Sunday. We just caught you up over the past 5 years, okay? We are here, so you're all in. And if you need to get in a small group, circle the day that would work for you. We got small groups all the time. I would like to volunteer in Higher Ground. Higher Ground is our children's ministry, and if you want to help us communicate some of that curriculum, how awesome is that? And there's two groups here. There's birth through K. That's kind of an unskilled laborer's position, okay? You just need to be able to hold a baby without dropping it, and if it makes a mess, we'll give it to a skilled laborer, okay? And we have positions for those. And then first through fifth grade, this is actually communicating with somebody who has a vocabulary. And so, you know, here's the gospel, and here's what it's all about. I would like to volunteer in student ministries. So if you want to serve in the youth ministries here on Wednesday night as a group leader or as a mentor in those two different groups, or college and career ministry just launched this week as well, I would love to serve on the assimilation team. And these are people that just, they're blue-collar people. They just kind of behind the scenes, please nobody notice me. Just go where I tell you to park, and I won't create drama. That's what those people are about. Parking, greeter, usher, all that good stuff. I would love to serve on the tech team. These are people that know what a mouse is and don't think it's an animal. And maybe you have skills here with like web design and even programming and coding or videography, or you can do all kinds of stuff that we haven't even thought of yet. You know, I don't know. But we need help in all of those things because we're a growing church and we want to make space for people that haven't even found us yet, okay? And then maybe there's something you do that's just so unique, you just need your own category. Just write it in there. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest needs of our church, I can tell you this, is God has sent us some gifted communicators and musicians and all kinds of people that kind of do upfront stuff. And what you'll find is people like us are horrible at details. And we need a bunch of people that just like, I'm a manager, I'm an organizer. I get up in the morning looking for ways to make life simple for others. And if that's you, then identify yourself and come and lock arms with some of us that don't do so well at what you do much better than us. And so we need lots of people like that in children's ministry and women's ministry and men's ministry and all kinds of different things. Maybe you can come and serve for a couple hours in the office. Just as a volunteer, just would be a great help in a lot of different ways. So if you're available for any of that, mark that on the card. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to pass those cards to the two center aisles. We're going to collect them at the end of the service, okay? So just you fill that out now. Go ahead and have it ready there so that I can dismiss you on time when we're ready to go. Look at verse 15. Practice these things. What is practice? Practice. What if you're a terrible free throw shooter? What do you need? You need practice. You just need to do it more. And you need to do it, and you need to do it, and you need to keep doing it, and you need to do it until you get better. And after you've done it about 10,000 times, you realize, I'm better at it than I was. Practice these things. Just do it and keep doing it, and don't say, I can't do it. Just keep doing it. Practice these things. Then he says, immerse yourself in them. You know this, but Andrew and I grew up in the South where it's like 100 degrees today, right? And if you go to a body of water, a pool or a lake, the water is actually warm in the summer, okay? And so up here, I wouldn't say that I've ever been in a body of water that I would consider warm, okay? And so I have a technique of getting in the water up here in the north. It kind of looks like this. And I did it just a couple of weeks ago when we went to Lake Michigan. I do this. I go right to the edge of where the water and the shore meet, and I'm a toe dipper. How many of you are toe dippers? Okay? How many of you are like my children? They see a body of water, they know it's cold, they don't care. And they just plunge right in. How many of you are plungers? Okay? You're a plunger. It's like, it's going to hurt, but hey, you're going to get in eventually. Just take the plunge, right? Do you know what Paul just told Timothy? Don't be a toe dipper. Immerse yourself in these things. Take the plunge. What are you waiting for? Get off the shore. Come in the water, it's fine. That's what he's saying. Immerse yourself. It's the same word he uses for baptism. Immerse yourself. Take the plunge. Get in these things. Immerse yourselves in them so that all may see your what? Your progress. 5G is a campaign for spiritual progress. And it's the practice of persistent progress. You say, oh, you tried to be cute in your preaching and make an alliterated outline. No, I didn't. I just took the words right out of the scripture. Practice these things. Immerse yourselves in them so that they may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save yourself and your hearers. The practice of persistent progress. We want to make some progress this year. And in doing so, we will save ourselves and our hearers. What is it? It's like, was Timothy not saved? Was practicing these things what's going to save him? We know that's not true. That's not the doctrine that Paul wrote in anywhere else in his writings, because we know that salvation is a work of God, not a work of man. So it's not in working these things that you save yourself. What was he saying? He was saying the practice of persistent progress proves your salvation. And so if you're not making progress, someone has every right to look at you and say, are you even saved? Did you make any progress over the last year? You want to make any progress in these things? What do we want to make progress in this year? We've got 5 G's. You want to hear about them? You're going to hear about them over the coming weeks, but I want to tell you right now what they're all about. First of all, we want to make progress in becoming God-glorifying disciples. We've got a verse for each one of these. I want us to memorize the verses as we go through them, okay? All the small groups are going to be studying the same curriculum together. And we've got a book coming next week that's going to give you personal devotions each week so that you can come back in your small groups and discuss these things. But what does it mean to be a God-glorifying disciple? Psalm 29:2 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. That scripture has two verbs. They're imperatives. There's no such thing as passive praise. I am to ascribe glory to God. Now, there's a sense in which me just existing gives glory to God, okay? Because God created me for his glory. I can't help but giving glory to God through my existence. But there's also an imperative that I am to ascribe the glory that is due his name. It's something that I'm to do intentionally, actively, and continually by some discipline of my life. I want to grow in that. I want to make progress in that this year. Anybody want to make progress with me? Yes. 6 of you? Okay, good. Does anybody want to make progress in glorifying God? Yes. Yeah, we're going to do it. And here's the next thing we're going to do. We're going to make some progress in growing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many of you don't know this about me, but I'm short. I know I look tall standing up here, and people tell me that all the time. They meet me in the forest. I thought you were taller. It's like, well, I can go back up there. It's like, I'd like to be tall. I've always wanted to be taller. But when I was 14 years old, I stopped growing physically. I was 5'7" tall when I was 14, and I'm still about that height. I think I'm going backwards now, but that's what happens physically. Do you understand that if you do that spiritually, you are in sin? If you stop growing, why is that? Because growth is commanded in Scripture. Now, I wanted to be taller, but, you know, I could command myself to grow all I want physically. I'm not getting any taller. But there are some things that I can do to nurture my growth. I want to grow in that. I want to make some progress in that. Are you growing? You want to be somewhere? You want to be bigger and taller? Not bigger, but you want to be taller spiritually than you were at this time next year? I want to be growing. Here's the third thing. I want to be grateful. I want to make some progress in being grateful. Here's Isaiah 25, verse 1. Oh, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure. You know, there's so many bad things that we have to endure. The economy's down and we're sick and maybe we don't have our favorite person, you know, as an employer, and it's tough, and Dr. University professors ragging on us all the time, and we've got all this junk we have to deal with. You know what it can do? It can rob our gratefulness. Why do we focus so much on the negative, and why aren't we more focused on the wonderful things and the plans that God has formed of old? He's faithful and he's sure. I want to grow in being a grateful disciple this year. You want to come with me? I want to be a gracious Christian. Man, I need to make some progress in graciousness. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." I want to be a channel of God's grace, and I want the things that flow out of my mouth to give grace to people. And build them up and encourage them and encourage them to make their own spiritual progress. And then finally, we need to make some progress in being generous. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." We need to make some progress. Now, this is both individual. You've got to make this choice on your own. If you want to be a 5G Christian, you got to make some choices to get it done. But as one that God has given responsibility for our church, this is our thing. I don't want you to be so consumed in your thing that you forget this is our thing. And together, as one, we are going to make progress together. And we want to be 5G Christians that are glorifying and growing and grateful and gracious and generous. Who's in? Are you in? Yeah. Let's get to our feet. Let's tell God about some of that. Let's ask God to do that in our lives.
You've been listening to an audio sermon brought to you by Harvest Bible Chapel in Granger, Indiana. For more information, please feel free to contact us by visiting our website, harvestgranger.org.